Life has changed almost overnight.
Yeah, you have a lot of questions. We are going to try to get you some answers. I'm Mike Simpson.
And I'm Charles Feldman. Together, we host Coronavirus Daily, a podcast designed to help us all get through this crisis together.
We go around the world and talk to some of the top experts out there. So think of this as a guide for you and your family. Multiple ways to listen: radio.com, the radio.com app, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher.
Remember, that's Coronavirus Daily.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Mully and Hall. Mornings 5 to 9 a.m.
Former Seattle coach George Karl.
Draft night of 94. It was close to striking a deal with Jerry Krause. Hell bent on trading Scottie Pippen to the Sonics. Sean Kemp was involved. The 11th pick was involved.
May did not want to make the trade. The radio stations just blew it up. Then I called Jerry back, I think, on the day of the draft. I said, hey, my owner's out. My owner doesn't want to make the trade. He's decided he wants to keep Sean. Jerry thought I was playing a negotiating ploy. And then he started offering money and he started offering a better deal to us. And, you know, I didn't have the owner's ear. But Jerry kept trying all the way up until about 5 minutes before the 11th pick in the draft. And I kept saying, Jerry, it's still no, we're not doing it.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, this is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. Sports Radio 670 The Score. Our radio.com sports station. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. The Score!
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
I think it would be bad for baseball overall if there was no 2020 season. I think financially it would also be bad for baseball's partners, of which I am one of two. I have two partnerships with baseball because I work here and we carry the Cubs, and I work over at NBC Sports Chicago and we carry the Sox. Both of these places would love to have baseball in 2020. And beyond that, just as a fan of the White Sox, I would love to see White Sox baseball back on my television and back on my radio this season, because I have high hopes for the 2020 White Sox. When we talk about the damage, I don't know if the damage is going to be irreparable. I'm sure if there was sports talk in 1919, people would have told you that the damage to baseball would have been irreparable after the White Sox scandal.
And what about these dames showing their ankles?
No, you know what the call would have been in 1919, Herbie? It's a good thing we don't let these dames vote. That's what it would have been. And I wouldn't have been hosting a show. Anyway.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes. I am here with you until 2 o'clock today. We have a fun show and a serious show all wrapped into one for you today. Our buddy George Offman is going to be on at 12:40 because I wanted to pick his brain about the 1998 home run chase, because there is going to be a documentary, an ESPN 30 for 30 this week. The next 2 weeks, right? It's a two-parter, I believe. called Long Gone Summer. And it's a documentary on Sosa and McGuire and Ken Griffey Jr. So I wanted to talk with George about that. Mark Gonzalez is going to join us at 1 o'clock. I'm excited to talk with him because he wrote a really great story about Ed Howard. I wanted to talk to him about where baseball stands right now, what's up with the Cubs overall. So there's a lot to discuss with Gonzo, and we will do that at 1 o'clock. There's some other things that we're going to sprinkle into the conversation as well. MLS has decided that they're going to be back. Like, they figured it out. It's going to be a tournament starting on July 8th, 2016 tournament. Six groups, three games per group. Top two teams from each group plus four best third-place finishers will enter a 16-team knockout phase, and the winner gets the spot in the CONCACAF Champions League. So that's cool. And also, a little bit later on, we'll talk about the NFL saying that they're thinking that maybe the preseason is a little lighter and lesser than it ordinarily is. NFL's had a lot of time to kind of work through some of this stuff, and I don't even know if it was still enough time for them to figure out how they're going to make their game work. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. I did want to start with the NFL, but I wanted to start with something that I'm already seeing and is already starting to annoy me. And it plays out kind of like this. When NFL players are being interviewed now, after Adrian Peterson was so open talking about how he was going to kneel during the national anthem once games started playing, and Ron Rivera said that he is in support of that. That opened the door to the conversation going a little bit left when we're talking about the issues of police brutality. We're talking about players using their voice to lend to discussing some of these things. And what you're getting now throughout the spectrum of news, when they are talking to athletes and sports talk overall, is now it's getting back to the point where it's binary again, where now we're simply asking the question of, are you going to kneel? Are you going to kneel during the national anthem? And it's almost like media, capital M, didn't learn a damn thing, that we're already back to this binary place. I'm not a fan of it. I'm not a fan of distilling it down to just that. And it's funny. I ran across this morning, and I think that it's important for you to hear, because you'll see someone. Herbie and I were talking about this, and I was having a hard time expressing exactly how I felt about hearing that question repeated over and over again to players. But Malcolm Jenkins was on CBS this morning, and he and Gail King had a conversation. And I appreciate, because you knew the question was coming, that the way that he answered it is exactly the way that I want people to approach talking about it. And all of this is inside of a broader conversation that starts off with them talking about how the NFL hasn't done enough to really express what happened to Colin Kaepernick.
I still don't think they've gotten it right. Until they apologize specifically to Colin Kaepernick or sign him to a team, I don't think that they will end up on the right side of history. I still don't think they've gotten it right. Until they apologize specifically to Colin Kaepernick or sign him to a team, I don't think that they will end up on the right side of history. At the end of the day, they have listened to their players. They've donated money. They've created an Inspire Change platform. They've tried to do things up until this point. It's been one player in particular that they have not, or that they've ignored and have not acknowledged, and that's Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, was that the big elephant in the room, that Colin Kaepernick wasn't mentioned in Roger Goodell's statement?
I think so. Yeah, that's the only thing that people want to hear. If it's not going to correct that or acknowledge that, you know, then everything else, you know, doesn't need to be said.
What are the chances that you think that Colin Kaepernick will be playing in the NFL? The NFL can say, look, we offered him an opportunity to be on a team. What are the chances now that you think that will happen?
I don't know. I can't speculate to that. But I think the first step is just acknowledging, one, his contribution to all of the issues that we see going on now and all of the demonstrations that we see. And that's the biggest thing. Just acknowledge it and apologize.
Do you think more NFL players, Malcolm, will begin to kneel at the football games during the anthem?
I'm sure there are guys that are more motivated than ever to get involved, whether that's through protest or through advocacy, their own charities. I think there's definitely going to be a larger participation from athletes just in social activity in general. Now, if that translates into kneeling or protesting during the anthem, all those things, I think that's yet to be seen.
Yeah, but you know, Malcolm, there are still people that don't get it, that are still saying you're disrespecting, that people are disrespecting the flag and the anthem. What are your words to make them understand what this is truly about?
Well, honestly, if at this point in time in 2020 people don't understand what the protest is about, then they are blatantly trying to ignore it. So I try not to waste my time talking about the anthem or thing, because it's a distraction from the actual issues that are plaguing our black and brown communities, the things that we need to get fixed.
Yeah, that's where the conversation, I think, needs to go. And I'm glad that Malcolm Jenkins, he didn't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. And I think that it's become so easy for us to just, let's just slip back into a conversation that's way more comfortable. Everyone knows where they stand on this. Even though people's stances are changing on it, it's just such a lazy way to engage NFL players in these conversations. And what you heard from Malcolm is what I hope we hear from a lot of players. If players end up choosing to kneel during the anthem to help try and bring attention to the scourge of police brutality and asking for police reform, terrific. I think that there are a lot of other players that are looking beyond that and saying, that's a part of this. It's a part of it, but how else can I use my platform to talk about things? How else can I go about affecting change? And it's as if we desperately want to get back to there. Like, even Drew Brees has moved on from there, from that little sticky wicket of a talking point that we have about the anthem. I think that the NFL needs to start focusing on some of the bigger issues, and people covering the NFL need to start focusing on some of the bigger issues and things that are connected to protest, but not that particular type of protesting. And I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. Did you know that there is a 1,400 player coalition of current players, retired players, coaches, GMs, staff members, that Malcolm Jenkins is one of the people that headed this up, that they sent a letter to Congress, and and part of that is being introduced as a bill so that they can get rid of qualified immunity for police officers, so that police officers can be prosecuted, and beyond that, those police officers that are found to have done wrong, they can also be sued more easily. And the people who signed this, a lot of people that signed this particular letter, I think you'd be surprised at some of the names. Now, we had talked about this last week with Drew Brees, where Drew Brees at that point in time when talking about this was still to the right of Tom Brady on the subject, because Tom Brady had signed the letter back in May that wanted more action against police brutality and violence against black people after Ahmaud Arbery died. But Brees is now part of this group. He's part of the group of the players that are trying to eliminate qualified immunity for police officers. That's a hell of a change from less than a week ago. Drew Brees out here like, nah, man, you got to, you know, I'll never get down with the people that are going to kneel and disrespect America with the flag. To him now donating money, giving you an actual apology, talking with his teammates, actually having the consensus of talking with his teammates, and then acting upon that. Him and his wife. His wife didn't even say nothing. She's out here apologizing and saying that they need to do better. And football overall needs to do better. I also agree with Malcolm Jenkins what he was saying about Colin Kaepernick. It's cool that Roger Goodell came out and said the things that he said. I am in support of the message that he tried to get across. More on that in a second. But at the root of this is someone whose career was ruined by this. There's still time. Colin Kaepernick's 31 years old. He says that he's in great shape. We saw him a few months ago. There's still time for him to get back onto a team and resume his career. And then if it actually is a meritocracy and he's not one of the best players, so be it. But I think we all are at a place where if you're even looking at the Bears roster of quarterbacks, you can go, yeah, I think Colin Kaepernick is one of the best 80 quarterbacks in the NFL. Which would mean he would have a job in the NFL. But the NFL still is struggling to admit that that was one of the mistakes that they made. They globalized it by talking about player protest. And yes, overall, those things have been ignored. But there's one player in particular that his protest cost him something dearly. And it may have cost other teams too. Other teams thinking, well, it's not safe for me to sign Colin Kaepernick or to bring Colin Kaepernick in for a workout. That it's an unsaid rule that Kaepernick shouldn't be on anyone's NFL roster. That's where there still needs to be movement. And the overall subject, the idea of protest and the NFL players that are protesting, that movement isn't just about Colin Kaepernick. It's everyone. But specifically inside the NFL, a big portion of the reason why some of these statements are being made is because of the work that Colin Kaepernick had put in. His vindication, I think that most of us see, oh, wow, Cap was right. This is what he was talking about back in 2016. People chose not to listen because they were blinded by false patriotism and people using their own patriotism as a wedge so that we wouldn't talk about what was actually being discussed. People looking over the fact that he got this idea from a Green Beret. Nate Boyer. There are people via Twitter, and I know that Twitter's not always a great indicator of our overall public intelligence, because there are a lot of people this morning who didn't know that Tina Marie was white. Anyway, there are plenty of people that are just now waking up to, wait, what do you mean that Colin Kaepernick got the idea to kneel from a Green Beret? I've never heard that story. That's because you didn't want to hear it. His teammate talked, he's a guy that played football, a guy that was a Green Beret, talked to him and said, this is how we show respect. Because initially, Colin was sitting during the national anthem. He and Nate Boyer talked, and they're like, you know what? You should kneel, because that would be more respectful. And then he got torched for it, and then got blackballed. And now the NFL is like, well, you know, I think that we may have gotten it wrong. The thing that you specifically got wrong was your treatment of one of your players and how the smear campaign that went on against Colin Kaepernick –